Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Everybody, and welcome to Radio Labyrinth. My name is Mike Ehrmantraut, and this episode is one, season 7, episode 9. Yes, my ears are expanding.
You really dropped the ball last week.
Episode 29.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said 9, but anyway, it's episode 29. Oh my goodness. Boy, it's been a long week. I really enjoyed last week's show. Good job on all the editing and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun talking about TV shows again. We may talk about some TV shows today. We may, but we may not. But first, I have to do my plugs, and I hope you don't mind. You guys, do you mind?
Plug it.
Plug away.
Yeah, do my plugging. All right, let me get the dildo.
You get to plugging now.
All right. I have another podcast / radio show. It's every Saturday until further notice at 7 p.m. on WSB Radio. My upcoming guests this week are Alicia Johnson from Kids Video Connection and author Susan Liverpool. And they're on to talk about the 15th annual Atlanta Children's Film Festival, which is a pretty cool thing that, where they teach kids how to access and work and create with multimedia platforms. And I love talking to people who do things like this with kids, because it's something that I wish we had had access to when we were younger. And I'm sure it helps build confidence. It makes media less, I don't know, fearful or fear-inducing, I guess. But in a world where we're totally surrounded by it, to have mastery of it by the time you're 12 years old is pretty awesome. And Susan Liverpool is a children's book author who created this book based on a dream she had. You can hear all about that. It's called The Lion and the Porcupine, and it's all about bullying and making friends. So there won't be a lot of fart jokes and stuff like that, and but it is a fun interview, and I hope you check it out. Also, this week's episode, comedian Caleb Sinan, who, if you're listening to this on Saturday, July 24th, he has two shows tonight at the Punchline in Atlanta and one on Sunday the 25th. If you're listening to it after that, I can't help you. You'll have to go find him on YouTube. But he's a funny guy. He's been on Radio Labyrinth before. He will be on the podcast this week. And then coming up, comedian Angela Johnson. Have you guys ever heard of her, Angela Johnson?
I've heard of her, but I'm not familiar with her work.
Yeah, she's really funny. I checked her out. I've been watching videos of her in preparation for the interview. She's coming to Atlanta on October 14th at the Cobb Energy Center. And she's really funny, and she started out, I think, on Mad TV. She had one of the first viral character videos that went around, like Boricua Queen or something like that. And she used to be an Oakland Raiders cheerleader. She's been on a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies, and she was a fun interview. So look for that one in the future. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can find it on your podcast, whatever's. And also, if you want to listen at 7 o'clock on Saturday, you can tune in to 95.5 FM, 750 AM in Atlanta, or all over the world on the WSB radio app. It's been fun doing that show. I really enjoyed last week's.
You know, the lady with the kids book, it made me think of, you know how you see those stands in people's yards where it's for kids books? You take one.
Yeah.
They have that for adults, too. It's like a take-one, leave-one library, little neighborhood library.
Yeah, we have one on our street that's porn DVDs.
That's what I wondered. I wondered if anybody has infiltrated those with something terrible.
Those nice books that Jeff used to buy at the adult, not at the adult bookstore, but there's this like bookshop slash tobacco store in Elmira, New York, called, I believe, Turks. Might have been called something else. We used to stop there after we go to the movies because you could buy John.
Leave that out in the woods.
They should make one just for cool kids, though. It's like just got kids? It's just got like Stephen King books in it, and
oh yeah,
you know, more hardcore stuff. But it's just for cool kids.
Yeah, make the cool one. Kids,
not for the dorks.
Right,
make one. You have a house.
I think I'll do that. I will do that.
A little sign, a painted sign,
on cool a kids only.
Yeah, broken down old van, kids' book in the woods.
I'll put in my copy of Pamela Desbar's "I'm with the Band."
I'll put in my copy of "Wifey" by Judy Blume. That dirty book she wrote. I found that in my mom's den, which was really, it was called a den, but it was really just a place where she threw all of her clothes on the floor. And before she would get up in the morning and, you know, iron them and bang the iron against the wall and wake me up. All these childhood issues that are yet to be resolved. But anyway, I found the Judy Blume book. And, you know, everybody our age was familiar with Judy Blume and Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. And oh, my God, I had my period. Remember that book?
Yeah. I got fudge in my pants.
Yeah, I got fudge in my pants. Oh, my God. And Ramona ran over my tampon. That was a good one.
Bitches be crazy. Oh, I remember that.
Beverly something. Yeah, bitches be crazy. What did who wrote that? That Beverly. It was a Beverly girl, the or Ramona. Ramona
Cleary?
Yeah, Beverly Cleary. Ramona ran over my tampon by Judy Blume.
Me, Jesus.
Yes. I don't even know where we're going with this. I forgot already because I got too gross. See, I started off talking about something really nice and something that the whole family could listen to, and this is where the evolution happened.
Yeah, it sounded like something that would be nice for your granddaughter.
I don't have a granddaughter.
Yeah, your granddaughter.
What are you talking about?
Tim will be long dead by the time he has a granddaughter.
Unless he knocked someone up in high school.
Mike Ehrmantraut's granddaughter.
Oh, that's right. Here, let me hide my gun in the suitcase. Then I'll go talk to Nacho's dad and disappoint him.
He got red. He got red by Nacho's dad.
Oh, yeah. He got a scope, which we'll do in a few minutes here. First things first, we have some social media stuff that's pretty cool. We got followed by and then followed back. Dancing is Forbidden, the Aqua Teen Hunger Force podcast at Aqua Teen Pod on Twitter. And turns out that they listened to the show, and that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He wrote, "Wow, Tim Andrews, thanks for the follow. Your interviews with Dave Willis are incredible and a great resource. I always love shouting out Radio Labyrinth on the show. So thank you." And everybody, subscribe to the podcast, check it out and listen. I subscribed. I'm going to start listening soon, but I'm still stuck in the audiobook world, this 9-volume alternative history. And I only have 2.5 more to go. Roby Neely, you guys remember Roby Neely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yes, a very, very awesome fan, producer, and oft-times contributor to what was that show that we used to have, that science show that nobody does anymore?
Mike TV.
Oh, yeah, Mike TV.
Yeah, Mike TV.
He did all the editing on that, by the way, and he did a good job. Anyway, so here's a story that he wrote on the Radio Shack. Roby says, "So I picked up I had a pickup while Uber driving last night after a delightful trip discussing old computer video games and habits while playing them, like watching movies and streaming TV shows at the same time. I dropped the passenger off. As the rider was exiting, a thought suddenly occurred and I called him back. I said, if you're anything like me, you'll also listen to a podcast while you play your games, and I had two to recommend. He said he did, so first I recommended Tell 'em Steve Dave, which he had not heard of. And Jeff, what is Tell 'em Steve Dave?
That's the podcast that's done by Walt Flanagan, who used to run the Kevin Smith's comic book store, and Brian Johnson and Q from Impractical Jokers.
And he also said, you got to listen to Radio Labyrinth. But this person in the car with him, or his rider, said, he told me he listens to it all the time. I then told him my name, and he exclaimed, I've heard of you. He then made my day when he said he was thrilled to meet a podcast celebrity. So a big shout out to Marshall in Odessa, Texas. And an even bigger thank you to us. And also we'll throw in Lisa and Dean. Lisa and Dean. They're so busy. No, I'm kidding. They are. I know they are. Dean, probably not as much as Lisa, for having me on your shows and making me enough of a part of your podcast family that I get recognized by someone in my hometown. I think that's pretty awesome.
So that is very awesome.
Yeah, normally they're just sticking a pistol in his back.
He's a strip club.
We'll say shout out to Odessa.
Yeah, hell yeah. Odessa. There's an Odessa near where we grew up, Jeff, in New York State.
Is there?
There's also Odessa, Ukraine, which sadly has not yet been raised to ground by Russia.
Isn't Odessa, is that like a big, isn't that like a big football town?
It's Texas. I mean, every town is a football town. Like,
as soon as I said it, Dustin, as soon as I said it.
Friday Night Lights town, right?
Is it?
It's all Friday Night Lights. It's just like Dustin said.
Whenever you say Friday Night Lights, I think, I don't want your life, but that's not Friday Night Lights.
No, that's that movie.
That's Natural Born Killers. No,
it's not. That's not. It's, I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
No, Natural Born Killers is, I'm going out.
I'm going out.
Where do you think you're going, huh?
Speaking of Facebook, Steph posted something, I think, a year ago, and had a strike. And we got a warning on the Radio Shack for something innocuous and stupid. It turns out, I thought maybe she had posted some of her alt-right stuff because she used to do that.
Yeah, deafen her Antifa nonsense.
Yes, yes. No, she, of course, doesn't post political things. But it was a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer. And what did it say?
Ain't nobody telling me how many people I'm allowed to have for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
So bland.
Bland, completely random, that Facebook's algorithm, it doesn't make any sense at all to me. What is it? It's just because they recognize the picture of Jeffrey Dahmer and you can't talk about Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah. And it's from Thanksgiving of last year.
I know. Yeah.
They send those bots through the data banks, through the servers, just scanning shit. And what scares the shit out of me is that's nothing compared to what's been posted.
Shouldn't they be looking for like tits and stuff?
Yeah.
Why are they going after pictures of Jeffrey Dahmer?
Well, I mean, you get more than one of those, you get a few of those and they'll pull the group, down. But the problem is it's nothing current. So, I mean, there's no way, unless I just go back and delete anything I think that might be.
Go back and delete everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even a picture of him munching on anybody. He was a very tasteful picture of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, it was a courtroom picture from him just sitting there with words over him.
Just stop it. Stop bothering me.
I honestly don't know why, but they did send me a message and basically told me that I was going to kill the group if I ever did anything like that again.
And there's no recourse for you. You can't write back and go, what the fuck is your problem?
They just asked me if I agree with it, and I said, no, I don't agree with it. But they don't give a fuck. That goes in there. I don't give a crap.
It's all file. Nobody's going to, no human person's going to look at it.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they give you the option to not agree with it, because they don't give a shit if you agree with it or you don't.
Right.
Well, I think the big thing really was it's not so much people posting it in the group, because if it had been just a regular member, they would have just taken it down, which they've done before on some other people in the group. But because you're an admin of the group, you allowed that to be posted. So that's why there was a strike on the group.
I blame these goddamn Capitol rioters. They've completely fucked everything up. Everything is the Capitol riot now.
Yes.
No matter what you do, you're about to do a Capitol riot.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
In Steph's honor, I say for Thanksgiving this year, we all eat some people.
Let's get that human flavored Impossible burger.
Impossible Bob. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, why did Jeffrey Dahmer keep a blender on his front porch?
Why?
So he could greet visitors with a handshake. Oh, I heard Netflix had a problem trying to get the Jeffrey Dahmer tapes. Because it was going to cost him an arm and a leg.
That's fair enough.
Enough of the Jeffrey Dahmer joke. Sorry, but it took me back to the 80s when those jokes were actually funny. And you could actually read them and no one got mad. Well, maybe they did, but they didn't, you know, stomp on your face and kick you out of your job.
Oh, yeah. In the 80s, you had an accumulation of them that you kept for, you know, everyday use.
Yeah, all the Blanche.
I feel like you should blink this entire segment out.
No.
Get us all fired and thrown out of the world.
No, the other jokes are fine. The ones that we had to cut weren't appropriate for 2022. And that's okay because times change. And you either roll with it or you don't. And you end up like Owen Benjamin doing right-wing talking jokes on some bizarre YouTube. Well, not even. You guys know who Owen Benjamin used to be?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Owen Benjamin was a comedian and he was on a TV show and he was successful. And then he went hard into the paint, into the Trump paint, into the MAGA paint. And now he doesn't have a career as far as I know.
He wasn't that successful.
Nah, wasn't he? I thought he was.
He was upper B level, I'd say.
Yeah.
He never was A level, but.
No. He was in movies and on TV. She was on Sullivan and Son.
Yeah, he was on Sullivan and Son.
But now if you go to his Wikipedia page, it says Owen Benjamin is an alt-right internet person. Well, I guess it's easy to grift. They have a lot of money, too. What else? So, Steph, quit posting hate memes.
I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to put any more serial killers up for Thanksgiving.
Goes way back. What year was this? 2005 or six?
2006.
2006, which means I have known you for 16 years.
That's right.
Is it 16? Yeah, 16 years. Damn. That's a long ass time. It feels longer than that. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just means 2006 feels like 100 years ago to me.
Well, we both had a lot of ups and downs over the time.
A lot of ups and downs, ins and outs.
Drag it out.
Yes. But Steph was a regular guys listener. And at this point in my regular guys career, I was just sort of a bit player and a helper. Tim Frazier, Virgin Murray, was still the producer. And you had Garrett, who was the 40-year-old intern. He's a lot older than that now, but aren't we all? And it was just Larry and Eric. There was no Southside Steve yet. He was still on a country station, I believe, he was doing afternoons. I don't remember.
No, Steve was there.
He was?
You had just gotten him back. He was dipping a toe. He was just coming back and got him back on there.
I don't remember doing that, but that's cool. Yeah. I must have. There's some things I black out.
You did. You got him back.
That's awesome because you know the show was sorely lacking and I wasn't good at doing stunts.
Yeah, and it was like they weren't, you know, Larry was being Larry, but you were like, no, Steve needs to come back. We need some Steve.
We have a need for Steve. I want to get him on this program. You think the listeners would like it if you're listening to the show and you have access to our social media, tell me if you'd like to hear Steve on Radio Labyrinth.
I've been asked twice in the last month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed amenable to it at one point in time.
Told me, I've spoken to him in the last 2 months. He said he would do it. I just haven't had time to book him.
Yeah.
So
I tried to reach out to him, but then he just never got back to me.
Well, I want to get a bottle of his bourbon. So if I can get a free bottle of his bourbon, it's a win-win situation.
Is it Tick Turd Bourbon?
No, it's not Tick Turd Bourbon. I think he's given up on that. This is through, anyway, we'll talk about it if we get him on. But this is a bit. Okay, so set it up.
So I was an obsessive listener, like a lot of people were, of the regular guys back in the day. And I used to call in whenever I hear something and I thought I could add something and be a little silly. And Larry had made the comment that small-breasted women were much smarter than big-breasted women.
Okay.
And so I called in and I made a challenge. I was like, it's baloney. And Larry's like, okay, prove it, bitch. We're going to bring you in and we're going to do some trivia with you against some flatter chest women, and we'll see what's what.
Okay.
And so that's what happened, and that's how we met, is I came in to battle these tiny titted women.
Well, there was one girl there who had even dwarfed you.
Well, no, that was the second week.
Oh, okay.
See,
okay.
I won the first week. Then the second, right. Then they had me come back and go against this chick who had, like, I don't know, F's.
Yeah, they're big.
To see if I could beat her. So that's how that happened. But, you know, the first time it was like me, and I was like a 38B. And then they put me against, I think the one girl was like a C or a B, like a low C, and the other one was like an A.
And you won. Something.
I did. Yes, you I won. What? NASCAR? The first time I won, yes.
So did you go to the NASCAR race?
I did not. I gave the tickets to my boss. And she was kind of obsessed with Steve. Like, she had a real disgusting fascination with him. So
really?
When the show was over, I asked Steve to talk to her on the phone, which he did. Okay. Yes.
And yeah, like, are you hot? Whatever. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. 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 And he was like, oh, she's from Loganville? Hell yeah.
Loganville. Hell yeah. Where the hell is Loganville? All right. So we have a whole bit, but we're not going to play it because that's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
But let's play the intro. So in the intro, you'll hear Steph. You'll hear Tim Frazier, AKA Virgin Murray, who, by the way, is a producer now for that guy from, he's on Playboy, or he's on satellite radio, XM radio. What's his name? The guy that used to be on Saved by the Bell?
Mark Paul Gosselaar?
No. The good looking one. The one everybody loved.
Lopez?
Yes. What's his name? Mario Lopez?
Mario Lopez.
Yeah. And I don't know that you hear Steve or me, but you do hear Steph and Larry and Eric. So just here's a little clip, and you guys can tell me to pause it.
Yes. You want to bring him in? Yes, bring in our big busty and not so big busty ladies, our contestants.
Of course, that's Larry Wax.
For the Big Boob Challenge.
That was the name of it, the Big Boob Challenge.
Come on in. This is Stephanie First Outside. Steve has the mic.
Hey.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm great, man. This is awesome. So glad to meet you guys.
Yeah, it's nice. We're not so. Do you think we're ugly, or what's your?
Do you think we're ugly? That's the first thing going through your head. These guys are ugly.
Larry was ugly.
Hey, now. Everyone has inner beauty and outer beauty.
Your take on that?
I think you guys are so hot.
Mm. We're adorable.
Now, wait a minute. You just said you thought they were hot.
Yeah.
Listen,
you're pandering because you're on the radio.
Of course, I'm pandering.
You're always yes and Tim.
That's true.
Yes, and exactly. Yeah. It was improv rules.
Mm-hmm. Where was David Koechner to tell you what to do?
that was another heartbreak in the future.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Husband, actually.
What are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. But you know, Larry, you're my heart.
Who, you like me better? Yourself. Why do you like me more than Eric?
I don't know. I think it's just your rigidness.
A rigidness. Did he have his pants off?
Rock hard.
I was a huge Larry fan. I did love his assholishness until it got shown upon me.
Yes, but let me tell you, you sound really confident and not afraid. A lot of people come into a radio show and do bits like this. Well, they used to. Now they're all fake, but they would do a bit like that and they get nervous. So good job. Hang on. More.
Your arrogance. I find it appealing.
My rigidness. He's rigid right now. Stop looking under the table.
Sorry.
Well, thank you for that's a compliment because I do strive for rigidness and intolerance.
Oh, you accomplish it daily.
Yeah, you like to be dominated, I can tell. You're very submissive.
In the night. Mm-hmm. In the night, I like.
In the night.
Kill me. Kill me. Fucking kill me.
Pegging everybody left and right.
Oh, sweet God.
I like to be dominated. During the day, I like to do the dominating.
Right. Well, you have to make money that way.
Exactly.
Right. You're a dominatrix. Not many people know that. But at night, you're very submissive and you like to be told what to do. You're very obedient.
Yeah. You know, I do all the cooking, the cleaning.
You like to be directed.
Yeah. I like taking care of my man.
Okay, now you know how dated that is because that's Howard Dean screaming after the 2004 primary when he won in New Hampshire and then they made fun of it. You can remember who Howard Dean was.
He completely derailed his entire presidential campaign. He had really good steam until that yell and it killed the whole thing.
I was mad that he did that because I was going to vote for him.
I was too, especially when he played that song. the doctor song.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, my eyes. He would play that at his campaigns.
Yeah, but it ended up being the Lurch, you know, the deep state Lurch.
Yeah. Wreck Boys.
And then his running mate was that John Edwards, who was a horrible piece of shit. Cheated.
Didn't
on
they call him the Breck Boys?
I don't remember what they called
because of their hair.
Yeah, yeah. I like to hunt. Look at my $5,000 shotgun.
My wife's dying of cancer, and I'm porking everybody.
Yeah, that's Edwards. And then John Kerry is like, as soon as Teresa Hines' husband died, I married her and got all this money. Isn't that great?
Ketchup life.
He threw all of his Vietnam medals into a big vat of ketchup. All right, here we go.
And you like the fiery rigidness that I possess, and it takes you back to a time where ideally a knight would run through brambles just to force his rigidness on you.
Yes, okay. It's the brambles.
See, now that's, to me, proof positive that Larry Wax is a good radio host, because he pulled all that out of his ass. There were no notes. There were no, he saw you, you gave him a premise, and he just went with it. So I think that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Larry, Stephanie was the first one to call in. Is she the one who started all this?
Yes.
Okay.
And, where are you?
And
Jerky Boys drop.
So here's the thing about your boobs. You're the biggest one, right? You're the D.
Yes.
D cup. They are not that big, but they're not big enough to suggest stupidity.
We should call this episode Ancient Misogyny.
Because Larry, there's no way they could do this episode now.
No.
There's Lord, no way.
I was listening to all of it, and I was just, it was funny because I listened to it religiously when it was on, didn't think anything of it. Listen to it now, I was cringing, and I was like, this is ridiculous that I feel I had this reaction to it. But
yeah, I hear bits I used to do. And all the time, you know, I did these characters and I listen to them now and I...
Steph, your boobs are plenty big enough to be stupid.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. There's just a little bit more, right? Hang on.
See, now, so, that's what I asked you.
But I still think you're dumb and we're going to test that. Let's talk to our flat-chested contestant.
All right. So that's all we're going to play, right? From that with just your introduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
We'll just know that I won this contest on what is the oil that comes naturally from a sheep's wool.
Was it lanolin?
It was lanolin, Jeff.
Yeah, there we go.
I got one even better. Why don't we throw the rest of that audio up on Patreon, and that way the Patreon members can listen to it if they want to relive that.
Yeah, do that.
Yes. Okay. Put the whole segment on Patreon.
Another good thing out of that was we met Tim. We've had an enduring friendship.
That's right. We should share all the emails we used to send each other with our neuroses.
Those have long since been deleted.
Am I funny? Am I funny? I'm funny. You're funny. You're funny. But what about me? You're funny. I'm not funny.
No, my God. Tim, read this. Read this, Tim. Tell me.
You were funny, but then I would send you back. I don't think I'm funny.
You remember what happened was you got canned. Like 2 weeks after I was on there. That was when Larry recorded those Mexicans in the bathroom.
That's right.
And then you guys got canned. And then we became MySpace friends.
That's right.
And then we started like messaging from that point on. And used to do things like you would do your little blog posts, things found on a walk. Because you had no job and you had nothing to do. So you just walked around the streets and take pictures of shit that you found on the road.
That's right. That's right.
Tom never flagged us for fucking posting memes.
No, Tom was cool. Tom didn't care. You could put music on your page. You could put glitter on it that would crash your computer. And sometimes you go look at somebody's page and the music. It was like going to that You're the Man Now dog site. Remember that?
No.
It was just the first initial. So it was You're the Man Now dog. Yeah, .com. And it was just it's still there now, but it's a blog. It was just you know, it was from that horrible Sean Connery chess movie. You're the Man Now, dog.
It was a Sean Connery was in a chess movie?
Yes, he was.
Was it Night Moves?
I don't know what it was called. He was teaching a young boy how to play chess.
Bobby Fischer?
No. All right, I'm going to Google it now because I remember Sean Connery It was Finding Forrester. Okay. You're the man now, dog.
So there's only three chess movies. That's the one I couldn't think of.
Well, it was pandering the line, of course, because he was an old man and he was teaching a young African-American boy how to play chess. You're the man now, dog. You know, they had to get that modern lingo in there.
Right. You had to adapt.
And that was always in the, I've never seen the movie, but that was in the trailer. So anyway, you're the man now, dog. Steph, thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're so welcome. I found it in an old sock drawer.
And I thought, hey. I haven't worn any of those socks in 16 years.
I thought, well, maybe you guys might find this entertaining.
So how did Pickle handle that when you went on the radio?
Oh, he was a big regular guys fan himself.
So he thought it was awesome that they were being misogynistic toward you?
Oh, he celebrated it. You know, in the first week, too, everybody at my job, they all listened to that episode. When I came back to work, they were all cheering for me. It was so cool. And then I went back the following week because Larry invited me back to go against the small titties, mm-hmm. or the big ones, the bigger ones. And right. I lost. And Larry was very mean to me in that episode. And when I came back to work that day, my boss was like, don't ever go back on the show again. Don't ever talk to those people again. And nobody would look at me. It was horrible.
Oh, that was terrible. I remember.
I didn't sound the same anymore. I don't even remember that person, the one that was so full of hope in that. Yeah. It was like I was crushed so hard the following week. I was never the same.
Sucked out of you. Your whole life was sucked out of you because of that.
Well, I just realized from that moment on, any celebrity is a shitball. And there was no reason to hold them up high at all because they're all shit.
Never meet your heroes.
But nope. I'm over it now.
To Steph. Yeah, Flip is better, but it's okay. I bet your book will be awesome.
What is that? That's from 2007.
Oh, this is from 2010. Tim, dear Lord, the chorizo burger, Krispy Kreme shake.
How do you still have these fucking emails, Tim?
I don't delete my emails. Well, I have
still pitching food back in 2006.
Well, I used to have a burger blog.
Yeah.
Me and my fake son. We used to go to all the burger places all over Atlanta when I used to eat meat.
I'm glad that my old blogs are invisible, especially the Pornstar blog. It's gone. Long, long, long gone. Long gone, just like Lalo Salamanca.
I like how you mentioned the book that I was going to write, or that I was writing. It was going to be good. The one that I still haven't finished. It's cool.
Scoo, what was it called?
Who knows, Tim? There was like 15 of them. You can go into my script buddy right now and you can find four unfinished screenplays that I've written like 40 pages of and then just stopped. You're like, this is garbage. I'm garbage. My father didn't love me. I quit.
Every book I tried to write in the old days, I get fed up and they all died.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We watch.
All right, so we're going to talk about some TV now, a little bit about Better Call Saul. We're all caught up on Better Call Saul. Did everybody watch it this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, Time Machine.
Yes, yes. Better Call Saul, Season 6, Episode 9, Fun and Games. You guys, I get the feeling they poochied Kim. I know we're going to see more of her, but boy, they really poochied her hard. You know what I mean by poochying?
Mm-mm.
They just wrapped it all up. See you later. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert. I found it to be a very slow moving but gripping episode. Like, it wasn't slow to where I was bored. It was slow moving and it was very transitional from going from the entire series to we only have four episodes left. What's going to happen?
Yeah, now it's all Breaking Bad time.
It is, because he... Oh my God! From start to finish, he went from whatever was left of Jimmy, whatever was left of Anakin, he became Darth Vader. Yeah. At the end of the episode, he was Saul. It was totally Saul.
Full Saul.
He went full Saul. But I hope that isn't the end of Kim. I really do, because if that's the end of it, I don't like it. I we're poisoned. I gotta go. Bye. Can I complain? The show's great. The writing is great. It was just very abrupt. I thought for her character. And, you know, if you guys think I'm wrong, let me know.
No, we've invested so much in her over the course of these 7 seasons.
Yeah.
It's yet to just see her go, hey, yeah, I love you, but we're fucking terrible for each other, so I'm going to get out of here.
Right.
And that's the end.
Yeah.
I don't want her to die. So I was.
I don't want her to die either.
I'm glad that they didn't do that.
No. It's not over yet. They're still.
Yeah, she deserved better. I hope they end up together in the end.
I hope that he's near her or has access to her when he's, you know, in the black and white scenes.
Yeah, when it's Gene.
Yeah, they had a very good. That's Gene in the mall, right? Turning the lights on in the department store. Okay.
Yep.
If you happen to see the teaser, so that was my big takeaway from that. Mike going to Nacho's dad. I don't know why he did that. I think he felt guilty, and you know, people who feel guilty when they go and pour their guilt out, they don't get absolution. And he didn't get any absolution for sure because Nacho's dad was like, "Fuck you, you're all the same."
Yeah.
And
another gangster idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, but Nacho was one of my favorite characters. And again, he's one of those characters, the sympathetic characters like Jesse from Breaking Bad, gets put in these horrible situations that he can't get himself out of. Of course, we know that Jesse got out of his, but Nacho couldn't get out of it. And he's like, he took it like a man. There was no pain. They shot him in the head and he bled out in front of me. You know, why did he was just trying to get rid of his guilt, right?
Right.
And maybe he found out that it wasn't the right thing. What was the business card he pulled out of his case, his gun case? Was it the vacuum cleaner guy? It was the Nacho's dad's.
Yeah, it was his dad.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Like he was going to leave it alone, but he just had to go do it.
Yep, yep. Well, I learned my lesson. Gus Fring struck out. He's such an uptight guy, meticulous fellow.
That was the best part when they were reading that note that Hector Salamanca tapped out. No,
yeah. And wait,
he dictated that note, tapping on the bell,
right,
one letter at a time, and that note was like fucking 20 minutes long, so it must have taken him like 6 hours to tap that out.
Right.
And they're at Don Eladio's.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
I thought they should have called that up episode Better Ding Fring.
Better Ding Fring. That's what we're calling this episode. Even though I like the misogynistic title, Better Ding Fring is. Did you steal that or did you make it up?
That's what I was thinking when they were in that scene.
All right, well, that needs to be the title of the show, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that was a very tense scene as well. And I had no idea. They didn't believe a word of it. Even the twins, right? They didn't believe it. They thought he was nuts.
Everybody just kind of write them off.
Yeah.
And he gets the last ding, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does get the last ding. But before that, you know, Gus is in that, you know, snooty wine bar. You know, drinking his expensive wine, and we know that he's gay. But again, yeah,
he was trying to hook up with that dude.
Yeah, and that whole line of, I bought this bottle of wine, I was saving it for a special occasion. How crestfallen he was when the guy goes, "Well, you'll have to let me know how that goes."
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if he was crestfallen. To me, it felt like that guy was coming back. He was into Gus, but Gus decided to leave because, going by what happened in the past with his old lover when it got murdered, Gus is just positive that if he hooks up with this guy, something's going to happen to him. So he was just like, fuck it, I'm leaving.
All right.
That's how I took it.
But I took it as that guy letting him down subtly, because the whole conversation was subtle. And for someone like Gus Fring, who obviously, because of the culture and because of when it was, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it was still a time when I'm a businessman, I have to be very careful. You know, they're navigating, he's throwing it out there, you know, casting the net. And then the guy with the response, "You'll have to let me know how that goes." That was a way of saying either I'm not interested in you, or I'm, you know, not like you sexually in that way. So that's how I took it. So maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, the guy left him to go get something. He was coming back.
Yeah, but he had already rejected him. And I think that pissed Gus off.
Oh, I guess. I don't know. I didn't read it as a rejection. I felt like that he was flirting with him.
And he left the bottle of wine there for him.
But Gus is the one who decided that this was not, he wasn't falling for this shit. Because Gus's ultimate goal is revenge. It was the entire reason why he built this empire. It's all about revenge for what they did to his lover. Every bit of it.
Right, right.
So to me, that's what I took it like he just wasn't going to be distracted by this guy.
Right, he didn't want him to get in the way or take the place in his mind of what his goal was, yeah.
Because he was so... That's the first time you've seen Gus easy and affable since he was with that guy in Breaking Bad.
That is true.
He had this easy way about him. It's like, oh, look at Gus. He's having a good time. And didn't know he could do that. And then as soon as the guy walked away, it hit him. Like, no, fuck this. That's right. Not what this shit's about.
I'm out of here. I'm going to go kidnap Baby Yoda.
But you could be right, Tim, but that was how I took it.
Well, we have 4 episodes left of Better Call Saul, and I'm sure all of them will be very fun and interesting to watch. We love that Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth Podcast. I have to say thank you every week to our good friend, Mike Hall, proprietor, and everyone who works at the restaurant. Dustin, does your son still work there?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. This is his last week. He is going to school. Yeah, he's going to school, so he going to college, so he put in his notice, but he'll still be doing events with Mike on weekends sometimes, and you know, if he needs him to fill in, he might be there, but he's got his year under his belt of having a job, and so now he's heading to school.
Off to college. Congratulations to you. Now I'll be rolling around in a wheelchair with a voice box when mine dies if I live that long. All right. Let's not be depressing here. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is having a fun summer with weekly food truck events, team trivia nights, catering events, and more, which you can find on their Facebook page. You can find out all about that. APNG, Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice cold local craft beer like Gate City Brewing's Copperhead American Ale or Athens, Georgia's own Terrapin Watermelon Gosa, which is a very refreshing tart yet thirst quenching brew for the summertime. And I think we have a couple more heat waves, so get yourself some Gosa. Atlanta Pizza and Euro loves serving their local community of Conyers, Covington in the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank them for all of their continued support and business throughout the years. Of course, you don't have to live in the area that I just mentioned to try Atlanta Pizza in Euro. You could be anywhere. You could be passing through the city or passing through the state. Go out there. It's a good place. The food is really good, and we wouldn't send you there if it wasn't. And I'll stand by that. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. And if you're interested, the address is 1565 Georgia 138 in Conyers, Georgia. So we can't forget our other friend. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. I wish I could do Sally Struthers because that's how I would say it. And sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia. They've been there since 2005. They offer fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. And I have to say again, thank you, Brett Perkins, for sponsoring the show. So now we're going to talk about the thing. And I don't mean the big orange rock, which is what Steph would want to be if she were a superhero. She'd want to be the thing, just big orange with her, you know, gigantic D's made out of rocks. Squirt lava. Magma. But no, we're talking about the thing, the John Carpenter science fiction horror film from the early 1980s, 40 years ago. So 1982, which is a very scary and creepy movie, right?
Yeah, as of June of this year, the thing was 40 years old, which they celebrated with a re-airing of the film in select cities.
Yes.
And it turned out to be a disaster, did it not, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, they showed it in the wrong aspect ratio, so like 2/3 of the movie you couldn't see. But they fixed it for the second screening. But yeah, they fucked it up at first.
Would you have wanted to go see this in the theater if you had the chance?
Yeah, I'd love to see it in theater, but in the right aspect ratio, of course.
Yeah.
I'd say every single one of us are huge, huge fans of the Thing. It is my favorite, other than this Aliens, mm-hmm. It is my favorite sci-fi horror film of all time.
Yeah, it's one of my top five for sure. You can't go wrong in the movie. You got Kurt Russell as MacReady, Wilfred Brimley, Dr. Blair, Richard Mauser, who was one of the guys that played one of the two actors who played a child molester in a movie, TV movie, including David Clennon. You had Keith David, who was Childs, T.K. Carter, who was Knowles, Richard Dysart, and Charles, a lot of character actors, Donald Moffat, Peter Maloney, Charles Hallahan, and on and on and on. So it was a really awesome film. And if you've never seen it, I think you should get it. By the way, Adrian Barbeau did the voice of the computer, uncredited. I just learned that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that.
So are they at the North Pole or are they in Antarctica?
Antarctica.
Antarctica. They're at a
filmed in British Columbia.
Right. And they're at a research facility, and an alien creature kills everyone.
Was it filmed in British Columbia? I thought it was filmed in Alaska.
It was filmed in British Columbia, and in one of the stories they said they almost all died because they took a plane as far as they could get, and it was about 4 hours away, so they took a bus the rest of the way, and I guess on these winding mountain roads with no guardrails, the bus like slipped and almost went over the edge with like everybody on it. It would have been shit. Horrible.
Damn.
I know John Carpenter has said that the shoot itself was a nightmare. It was very grueling. And this is like one of the only movies that he ever directed that he did not write.
Right, but he also loved the story. It was like one of his favorite childhood stories.
And it was almost a Tobe Hooper movie, right? He was going to direct it from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, because Halloween hadn't come out yet. So Carpenter didn't have any momentum behind his name at this point. But it had also been in production limbo for 10 years before Carpenter got it.
Really? I didn't know that.
And all the fan theories. This one has a lot of fan theories, as far as who died and who was an alien and who wasn't and what time.
And I just listened to an interview with John Carpenter because so many people have these theories about whether or not Kurt Russell at the end, if he was the Thing or if the other dude was the Thing. And John Carpenter kind of settled it and said that nobody knows. That's the whole point. Kurt Russell bugged him throughout the entire production, like, is it me, am I the Thing? And he said, I'll never tell, we don't know. That's the whole that in the studio, I guess, whenever they did the screening, they hated the ending because it was so dystopian and not a happy good time. So he was like, okay, so they did it a different way and they got the same reaction. So he was like, we're going to go with the original. It's the end of the world. Cause there is no hope. It doesn't matter if he is or he isn't. One of them is, and it's just going to keep on going on and it will be the end of the world basically.
Yeah.
Which was a happy good time.
Yeah, happy good time.
The cinematographer had the people on set needed to know who was an alien and who wasn't, especially the cinematographer. So the lighting guy and the cinematographer got together. And if you watch the movie, anytime you can see light reflected in an eyeball, it means that someone is human. If you can't see the light reflected in the eyeball, they're considered that's what's an alien. And the only time it really rings true is when they're doing the blood test. The one that's the alien you can't see the reflection of the light spear in his eye, but and that also means at the end that Kurt Russell had a light spear in his eye. Aside from Carpenter, the other people working on the movie, that was the guide they were going by.
Let's go back to when you saw that scene for the first time.
Yeah.
Were you totally freaked out? when you first saw that scene. Yes, the blood test scene. Whenever the guy on the end of the bench starts, I mean, I know that I was probably 12 or 13 when I saw this movie for the first time. And I believe it was on VHS, like I rented it from the video store. It was a critically panned movie, so hardly anybody really watched it. And it came out the same summer as E.T., so nobody gave a rat's ass about this movie.
Right.
It kind of found its second life on VHS. And when I saw it, and I mean, I was obsessed with this movie. And still to this day.
Yeah, I watched it once a month.
When's the last time you watched it?
A couple weeks ago.
Really? Yeah. All right. Where can you watch it? Because I haven't seen it in forever and I want to watch it.
I think I watched it on Prime, maybe.
All right. Did you have to pay?
No. I watch it probably a couple times a year.
Really?
I love this movie that much.
Wow.
But it's like I also love, and a lot of people talk shit about the remake, which to me it's not a remake, it's a prequel. Because at the very beginning of the thing, the helicopter is chasing this dog into the camp,
mm-hmm.
right? And you don't know why, and they're shooting at this dog, and nobody understands why. And then the prequel, it runs the entire thing right up until that scene.
Wow.
Yeah. Runs which the dog. You watch the dog leave at the end.
Yeah, and everybody keeps saying that it's a remake. It's not a remake. It's an actual... prequel. It's a different story.
Yeah, people say that it's a remake of The Thing from Outer Space, or the story. I think I hear something, or I think it's the name of it. It was the story that John Carpenter read, also what the original people for the 50s version read to make the movie. So it was his interpretation of that story that he made it from. So it's not a remake of The Thing from Outer Space. It's a original story based off of that short story that he read when he was a kid.
Hmm. And wasn't Anthony Quinn in the movie that supposedly was the first thing or whatever?
Was it Anthony Quinn?
Played the alien or something.
I'm not sure.
I do know that I'm going to have to rewatch The Thing.
Definitely should. What do you think? How do you think it would be had they recast the movie if they would have had Nick Nolte play Kurt Russell's part?
Come on.
He was one of the first ones they considered to do it.
He was so hot by 1982 that I'm not surprised he didn't do it. I think it would have been good. Who are some of the others that they were going to cast?
Jeff Bridges, of course, he could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
Which The Old Man, by the way, nobody's watching The Old Man, and I know you guys are all watching it. But if you aren't watching The Old Man, watch The Old Man on Hulu.
Behind, but I will get caught up so we can talk about it next week. It's such a great fucking show.
Such a great show. Sam Shepard.
Yeah.
Very understated. I don't know if he could have. I don't know. And Chris Christopherson. I feel like he would have played it too big.
Yeah. I have to do this.
Would look good in that hat, though.
Yeah.
What was his part in that song?
I'm trying to think. And I would have burst out, but. I was a dam builder.
No, that was Johnny Cash.
No, Johnny Cash is it.
I was a starship.
Yeah.
I was a dam builder. That was Waylon. Waylon did it. He was the dam builder.
I sailed a ship. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico.
There you go. That's it. Awesome. Yeah.
I rode a rowboat.
I slipped and fell into the wind. That's not the same one. But yeah, I think that would have probably been pretty good.
Yeah, Chris Christopherson's great.
Should they get Wyatt and remake it with Wyatt being Kurt Russell?
That'd be awesome. But he's already said he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
They're doing something together now. I just read online. Both of them are going to be in the new Godzilla series that's going to be on.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And Wyatt together are going to be in a Godzilla. And it's the whole, like, they're bringing all the monsters in. So that'd be cool. All those old, I forget the name of the studio, but anyway, they're all going to be in it.
I don't think they should just leave the thing alone. The prequel, sure. If they want to do a sequel to it, okay. I'd be into that.
Leave it alone. Let it exist in its own world.
Well, I mean, if they did it, like, present day. Yeah. Maybe they put Wyatt Russell in that. made a whole new thing.
Yeah.
That I would probably be into. But yeah, the actual thing, no. And even you guys know the effects are still, they still hold up. That Rob Bottin kid, he was only 22 when they did all the stuff. And it still holds up. Some of it is, but for the most part, because it is all real, none of it's CGI, it does look very real.
Right.
I mean, he's the same guy that did American Werewolf in London. He did all the effects on that. And that still looks good.
It does.
The transformation scene.
Because your brain doesn't go, oh, that's a cartoon, a computer-generated cartoon. No, you know that it isn't real, but your brain can go, oh, wow, that looks cool.
And yeah, totally.
Thank you for talking about The Thing. I think we should do more of that, revisiting movies. So let's see what's celebrating the 40th anniversary.
Better ding The Thing.
Better ding The Thing.
If there's anybody out there that listens to this show, which I'd say pretty much every listener to the show has seen The Thing. I'm quite positive of that. But if you haven't, The Thing is the shit.
The Thing is the shit.
Views.
Or.
Snooze.
Last week, it was Bill Burr Live at Red Rocks, which I watched. It was pretty good.
It was good.
South Park, Streaming Wars Part 2.
I thought that was funny.
Resident Evil and Farzar. I've watched all of them. I'm not finished with Resident Evil, but I've watched like three or four of them.
I noped out after the first one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, it's not good at all, really.
I watched all of Farzar.
Yeah, Farzar is awesome.
Farzar is funny. I watched the first three so far. Yeah. And I laughed my ass off. It is so funny.
I can definitely see how they took Paradise PD from it.
Right.
Yeah, because it's very similar in structure.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana Snyder is hilarious and all the characters he plays.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't help but hear Dusty every time I hear
Zorg.
I like the joke that Lance Reddick's character told. When he takes the hearing aid out of the Queen, he goes, "When I put it in, it sounds like somebody's making keys." So it's a great, filthy, funny show. Don't watch it with the kids, that's for sure.
Oh, God, no.
Resident Evil, I don't know the mythos. I don't know the game. I don't know the movies. I know what the Umbrella Corporation is, but it just didn't grab me.
And I like zombie shows though, so I'm watching it, but it's not great.
It's the Black Summer, that's for damn sure.
And that's still in limbo too, Black Summer. They haven't renewed them for another season.
I'm surprised the Streaming Wars doesn't get much press. I guess people don't care about South Park anymore unless you're our age. But I thought they did a great job, and they brought back OG Randy. But at the end, like, let's get high. I enjoyed it.
That and Cartman's tits.
Yeah. Since my eyes are up here, Butters.
All right. So this week we got The Last Movie Stars on Apple TV. This is Ethan Hawke, 6-part documentary about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah. He's worked on this for like 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
I think Paul Newman is the greatest looking man that ever existed on this planet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this show. I think it's going to be good.
Well, you don't have the Derek Jeter 6-week documentary?
I was going to ask you if you were watching that.
I wanted to, but it started too late the other night after the All-Star Home Derby.
So that's Views on Last Movie Stars, Apple TV. Number two, The Gray Man on Netflix. I'm on the fence about this one.
What's The Gray Man?
This is that the Duffer Brothers, and it's, what's his name? Ryan Gosling,
yeah.
No, I'll watch it.
It's a maybe.
Theaters too. He's a CIA guy.
Yeah.
I might give that a views. I doubt it, but I'll say might.
And it's like a really big budget for Netflix, like $500 million or something.
It's Ryan Gosling. He doesn't do crap.
Right.
Well, yeah. You're gonna go see the Barbie movie.
Hilarious.
Oh yeah.
No. That's a maybe for me. I'll let you know if I've used or snooze it. Gray Man Netflix on the 22nd. And then finally, Impractical Jokers are being part of Shark Week on Sunday. on
the trick a shark
on Discovery.
Oh yeah, this will be Q's.
In fact, we joke a shark.
I'll definitely view this. He was talking about it on the podcast and sound like it was a fiasco. So, ought to be fun.
That's Sunday night on Discovery.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on Discovery Plus too. If anybody subscribes to that garbage.
You guys tried watching Blackbird, right?
Yes.
I haven't got that yet. I want to watch that.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I think,
I mean, it's definitely, in my opinion, a combination of Mindhunter and True Detective, but like a watered-down version of both.
And American Psycho.
Yeah. And what's his name? The guy playing the killer?
Paul Walter Hauser.
Paul Walter Hauser. He loves
his life, man. Get off his back.
he's really, I mean, he's good, but yeah. it takes like the first episode or two to like figure out if he's really good at acting or if it's like just, I don't know. At first I thought this is horrible the way he's doing it, but then it started making sense the more it.
He seems creepy, but then I still don't know if he really is doing this shit or not.
Yeah, if he's
I've got my ideas. Yeah, I'm not sure. And Greg Kinnear is great, as always.
Yeah.
Does Jamie Taco steal all of Paul's lines?
And let me just say, and I know we talked about it last week, but the scene with Rose Byrne and Rory Scovel this week on Physical, when they were doing that aerobic workout to It's My Life by Talk, that is now, anytime that I want to escape from the world, I'm going to watch that scene, the two of them doing that workout to freaking It's My Life.
All right. We haven't watched it yet. That's usually what we watch on Friday nights.
I'm sorry, Tim.
No, that's okay. I don't care. We get caught up. Yeah. All right.
Been great.
Guys, listen, if you want to be a part of the fun, go to the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack on Facebook.
While you still can.
Or just join a regular Facebook group. But the Radio Shack is where all the fun people hang out. You can follow us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, and of course the YouTube channel. If you're not watching it, you should. And if you just prefer to listen, please just go and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That'll help us out, especially Dustin, who does all that great work on the Radio Labyrinth YouTube channel. If you were interested in becoming a Patreon and a producer level, we'll get you a T-shirt that you can pick from our store. We haven't had any new ones in a while, but we can always change that. That's patreon.com/TimAndrews. What else?
I will say, just you better get to the Radio Shack before they come after me for my Richard Ramirez Christmas meme that I put up last year.
All right. Thanks again to you guys for putting that thing together, the thing, and Steph for sharing your regular guys' radio history with us. That was a lot of fun. I hadn't heard that since it aired, so that was cool.
And Patreon members, make sure to check out all the audio. We'll post that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're definitely going to come away from it thinking that I am dumb as fuck, because there's a lot of questions that I should have gotten that I did not. So,
All right, you guys, thank you very much. Please remember that, next week we have guests from Little Bites, Larry and Emily Johnson, talking about their new restaurant. And we'll leave it at that. A little bit of a tease. Leave you on more, speaking of food.
And we had Larry on before, whenever he was doing improv.
Improv. So he's the funny guy. He can roll the punches. And we will talk to them and you next week on Radio Labyrinth. Until that time, please remember to
keep it.